Welcome back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, scumbaggery and psychopathy, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And my very special guests are Jay Widener, Thomas Sheridan, and now joining us for the second hour is James Corbett, coming us live from Western Japan. So everybody else has had a chance to introduce themselves. James, if you would be so kind to give yourself a wee website plug and just a quick brief explanation for those who are unfamiliar about who you are and what it is you do.
Absolutely. Well, I'm James Corbett. I'm CorbettReport.com. That's C-O-R-B-E-T-T report.com. And long story short, I'm a Canadian living in Japan who's been here for 9 years now. And about 6 years ago, I started the Corbett Report website as a information resource for people to use. It's a podcast, it's videos, it's interviews, and basically I talk about all sorts of things that interest me, everything from philosophy to history to science to current events and geopolitics. And so I'm trying to be as wide a resource as I possibly can for people to draw upon.
Okay. Well, welcome to this roundtable discussion. We're very glad to have you here today. Okay. Now, where we were at the last segment is we were talking about how essentially anybody who exposes a psychopath or tries to fight them is really incurring wrath in no small form. And I was wondering what your perspective on that is. How exactly do you expose somebody who retaliates in such a way that you cannot predict the level of their retaliation?
It's a good question, and it seems to suggest its own answer, which is that the best way to starve a psychopath or someone who's trying to psychically vampire off someone else is to remove yourself from them. And of course, that creates the situation of, well, wouldn't that person just, you know, survive to fight another day and to do it to someone else in the future? And of course, there is that. But I think that when we're looking at this societally, when we're looking at the psychopaths that are running the system, I think that if we can starve them of the energy, the power that that they have through, you know, the stick of big government and the like, then unfortunately, yes, these people will still exist and they'll still be able to prey on victims, but at least they wouldn't be able to do so in such a big manner. So that would be my first approximation to an answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say you've got a radio show host who's a psychopath or whatever, cunning manipulator, has a massive audience and dupes them all, that kind of thing. And of course, anybody who comes out against them gets attacked on their much larger radio show and so on and so forth. Would the answer be perhaps you need to be covertly speaking to people, you know, on a one-by-one basis, telling them, you know, you really don't want to be listening to that guy or whatever, because you can't just come out and release a YouTube video or do a radio show about that person, can you?
You can't, but I mean, personally, when it comes to that, my tactic is to ignore people that are like that. I mean, I truly do just ignore things like that, because if you devote your time or energy to fighting something like that, I really think you're playing into it. You're building it up. You're making it into more than it is. And I think that we choose what we make important in our lives by what we you spend our time and energy doing. So I think, honestly, I don't bother with that. And because I don't bother with it, it doesn't affect me. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. I've never had problems with things like that because I just don't give my time and energy and attention to it.
I think that's a really good and poignant explanation of the situation, isn't it, Thomas?
Well, Carl Jung in the Red Book says, I think he says something like, if you go to hell, you will become hell. So be careful not to forget where you came from. And James is right. I think we're all, myself and James, are all in consensus here tonight. Just get the fuck away from these guys. Just put a wall between you and them. Do not give them your energy. However, that doesn't mean we shouldn't educate the public. So that's the other side of it. So we should have this combination. You're absolutely right when you said it. Like, it should be like espionage in a way. It should be almost like the French resistance networks saying, oh, this person might be one, this person might be one. Because I tell you something, you know, then you can leave it up to the other person to decide if they are or not, because you will get people calling them perfectly innocent people psychopaths. But I think if you have the education out there, it's just like we've taken on the globalists. People like Jay and James and the rest of yourself, we never had this resource before. We now have it to tackle the psychopaths as well. So I'm not totally against a witch hunt, but I am totally in favor of education and just like the whole thing, get the hell away from them. That's it.
And so if
non-compliance.
Well, let's say for example, education has taken away this belief in witches and witch hunts and so on and so forth. So at this particular point in time, people don't get burned at the stake or drowned for being witches, because a whole bunch of uneducated people come out and have these big crazed reactions to things that they don't really fully understand. If we're talking about a psychopathic mentality that we're trying to expose here, the education of this particular mindset, symptom technology, etc., is in fact the way that we will starve these particular creatures of their energy. And as you said in the previous show, Thomas, you leave them away on a desert island with fruits and vegetables, and they can perfectly easily survive. They'll die in a couple of days because they can't survive without people to manipulate, without people to control. And as you said as well, if you fight hell, you become hell. And this goes back to another thing that you said in the first hour, is that these people literally have an infection, okay, and that they can actually infect you. So if you stay away from these infected areas, you can't have that happen to you. And the key is just to, as we said, warn people covertly. Don't go after these. Don't go after these kind of people. Just stay the heck away from them. Jay, what would your perspective on this be?
Well, I definitely would stay away from them. I don't go anywhere near them. And I have a series of tests that I give. I'm helping to run a company, and I have to hire people, and I'm very worried about hiring a psychopath, because last thing I want is one of them around me. So I have a few things that I do to test them out, be honest with you, and it's pretty effective. I don't want to give too much of it away, because it's a very effective test, but I can say this. You could create a scenario where a possible psychopath has to be forced to apologize for something, and you observe their apology, and you will discover through their lack of apology that they're a psychopath, because psychopaths cannot apologize. Not really. A psychopathic apology would be something like, wow, I'm really sorry you feel that way. That's a psychopathic apology. A regular person, if they've done something wrong, they say, oh man, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. A psychopath cannot say those words. And that is a big weakness, and that's a way to discover them. And so we have to look at that way. For instance, Obama, President Obama, can never admit that he did anything wrong. Neither could George Bush, W. He could not admit doing anything wrong. They even asked him a question at a press conference once. Is there anything that you wish you could have done better? And he's like, he just couldn't answer. It just wouldn't even register on him. So, you know, there are ways to discover these guys and who they are and what they're about. And we have to start exploring all of this so that we can root these guys out, because in the end, they're going to destroy this place.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tony Blair, I didn't start a war illegally. I run an interfaith foundation. How could you see? There's actually a cognitive reason for that. They actually, because they switch personas between each version of themselves. A psychopath has no internal personality structure as such. They have invented personas to manipulate situations. So the Tony Blair that started the Iraq War under false pretense is not the Tony Blair who exists now, going around the world as a holy man.
Now, what reminds me of is an episode of South Park where they did the BP oil spill, and they had the head of BP on South Park, Tony Hayward, going, "I'm sorry." He's like naked on a bear rug while he's saying it, kind of thing. And what occurs to me is just how crazy you'd have to be in order to believe these people. Like, it's almost like you'd have to have the life experience of a child in order to believe these people to be genuine after seeing what they've done and then seeing this apology, don't you think?
Well, you know, there's an interesting thing going on in the United States right now where we have this George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin thing where this Hispanic guy shot a black kid in an apartment complex in Florida. And what's interesting about it is that the press has been completely abysmal. They report the guy as being white when he's actually from Peru and he's Native American with a black grandfather. They don't tell you that the kid attacked this guy before he shot him. It is one of the most astonishing psyops I've ever witnessed in my life. And the end result is this guy got off, got found not guilty, and we had riots all over the country. And you could actually say that the riots were instigated by the false press reports. In fact, you can say that. And so Thomas says that, you know, journalism is a place where a lot of psychopaths congregate. Well, I guarantee you that's true, and they really don't care about the truth at all.
On the screen behind me, for those who are watching on the video later, there's a picture of George Zimmerman who looks like he's had the hell beaten out of him. Do you know that I've never seen that image on the media?
No,
not
they
once.
No, they don't show it.
Don't you think that if there was any credibility in the media whatsoever to cover both sides of a court case, that the first thing they would show you is George Zimmerman's face cut up, beaten to a pulp? That would be the first thing you'd show them to show that, hey, he was beaten up before he shot the kid. Don't you think?
Yeah, unless you're a psychopath.
Accused of being racist for doing that. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
That's the game they play. That's how the journalists are. See, we don't. This is the reason why we exist, us four are here now, is because journalism has been dead for a long time. Mainstream journalism. And like, there was that recent... Am I still on the air?
Yeah.
There was that recent case in London, in South London, the Woolwich case, where the young soldier was hacked to death in the streets allegedly by a Muslim guy. Now, that was a very clever psyop, because what they were trying to do was create a division within the Muslim community in England between dark-skinned black Muslims and light-skinned Arabic Muslims in order to try and wreck the kind of like cohesion within the Muslim community. And it was very, very sick how they used the internet to whip it up. They were actually, you know, getting attractive young women, you know, English women to Twitter and all over Facebook, fake accounts, of course, saying it's time we had a race war. I've had enough already. Let's burn down all these mosques. Now, it didn't fly, but you could see how it was engineered the same way.
Yes, it was, and the same with the Jimmy Savile case. That is, you know, the epitome of power in a psychopathic nesting. The fact that Prince Charles wrote to Jimmy and said, you know, your country will never know what you did for them. It's like, what? You know, and of course, he's going to Christmas parties with Maggie Thatcher and the Queen. And in fact, the Jimmy Savile case is actually the paragon of psychopathic cases, I think.
Yeah, and the depth of how depraved it got. The fact that Margaret Thatcher, one of her last acts in office was to get him a knighthood. It's huge. It goes very, very deep.
Yep.
Well, sadly,
God, like Jimmy Savile into young children. I'm sorry, did I say that on air? I can't say that. I'm sorry.
Well, sadly, when we talk about political psychopathy, I don't think we've even begun to scrape the bottom of the barrel of what's possible in the 21st century, like we did in the 20th century. And for people, I mean, out there who can cast their mind back to World War II, it's not only, of course, the atrocities that everyone knows about in Europe, it's the atrocities that were happening here in Asia, especially the atrocities that the Japanese were inflicting on the Chinese and the Koreans and the other people that they'd they'd colonized at that time. And in fact, there was a unit called Unit 703 that was responsible for human experimentation and the like, that did some just horrific things. If people have the stomach to read about what they did in the name of their experimentation, they should go and read it on Wikipedia or what have you from their source of choice. But some pretty disgusting, just inhuman things that were being done, which I think represents where the psychopaths were operating, at least in the East Asian sphere back in the middle part of last century. And interestingly enough, just a few months ago, the new prime minister here, Shinzo Abe, was photographed in a fighter jet that was owned by the self-defense force of the Japanese government here. And the fighter jet that he was photographed in had a serial number, 703, that was prominently displayed right next to him. Which was clearly not a coincidence. I mean, that was clearly a wink and a nod to the right-wing lunatics here who want to go back to imperialist Japan. So political psychopathy, I mean, we have to keep in mind, this is something that's not just affects a few people. It can affect tens of millions of people and can be responsible for some of the most grisly and inhumane acts that have ever been perpetrated against human beings.
And I think the lack of understanding by the general public allows this to happen. As we mentioned before, the education level of what a psychopath is, how they act, what kind of methodologies they follow, that kind of thing. It's the lack of public education, much like education about the New World Order or 9/11 being an inside job. You know, pick your obviously mainstream media lie, it matters not, because they keep lying. That's the funny thing, is that they keep lying to cover up their scumbaggery until they get so exposed, until humanity reaches critical mass. It's like 100th monkey syndrome. You know about that symptom, don't you? 100 monkeys somewhere or in a different part of the world suddenly learn a new skill, such as putting a stick into a termite mound with their spit on the stick, and it brings out a whole bunch of termites for them to eat. And after about 100 of them figure out how to do this little trick, they find out that in completely different parts of the world, all these other monkeys figure out that exact same trick. And I believe that maybe, through shows like this, exposing psychopathy with gentlemen like yourself working as hard as you do, we might be able to reach that 100th monkey in order to expose the psychopathic hominids.
That's the plan. I think that we're all on board with that one, and that's the only way that we're going to defeat this thing, you know. And like I said before, if you're not a psychopath, you can never think like a psychopath. So don't even try.
Yeah, that's right. And I get into arguments with people. You know, I tell them about the New World Order and the eugenics campaign and so on and so forth, disinformation, false flag terrorism. And they go, no, that can't happen. You know, that's stupid. Why would they do that? And just like, well, the reason why you think that it can't happen and wondering why they do that is because you're not a psychopathic scumbag. Okay? If you did, it'd make perfect sense. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyasonshow.com.
To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert. Oh, your dessert, you prick, give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go.
Welcome back.
You want to know what it's like?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand on the amazing American Freedom Radio Network. And it's a comedy sketch by Lewis Black talking about how long it gets to New Zealand by plane. And Thomas made a reference to sheep shagging jokes over the break. And the best response that I've ever heard to that is by a New Zealand comedian called Mike King. He was at a comedy conference in Australia once. Somebody calls out from the back of the crowd, "Sheep shagger!" And he goes, "Oh yeah, mate, absolutely. We're all sheep shaggers. At the age of 15, every young boy gets given his own sheep to shag. And then after a few years, until he reaches manhood, we export them to Australia and you bastards eat them." Just think about that the next time the gravy's dribbling down your chin. Okay. James Corbett and Thomas Sheridan are my guests today. I've really gotten dirty during this episode. It happens when I don't have enough sleep. Sorry. Anyway, speaking of dirty tactics, we were talking over the break as well, over the mentioning of certain words, certain names, and that's when the intelligence agencies click on and start to mess with you. Like, we had a show earlier today with Baran Hines. We were talking to Fritz Springmeier, exposing the bloodlines of the Illuminati and so on and so forth, and he was cutting out every, like, 15, 20, 30 seconds. He'd go for a few minutes and then be cut off again and again and again. And what's interesting is it happens so often during poignant interviews where key words are introduced that it cannot be a coincidence. What do you think about this, Jay? If you think about it, really, is there indeed an agenda to censor and or sabotage this kind of content from getting out there? And if so, how effective is it really?
Well, there is definitely an agenda. I've had many problems, and even to the point where I was on a radio show and the entire show didn't get recorded, even though the recorder was on. And so I don't know how they do that, but they do it. And so I know they do it. And the thing is, you have to remember, as you were mentioning 9/11 and, you know, all these other things that are going on in the New World Order, these are all psychopathic creations. So, I mean, it was a psychopath that did 9/11. They're such psychopaths that we actually know their names. We know the perps' names. And they're still walking around free. Apparently, they don't have to worry about anything. And same thing with Sandy Hook, which was the tragic, or maybe didn't even exist. Because here's the thing. There's a lot of chatter on the internet these days about crisis actors, about that these false flag events that are going on, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, and a few others, where there's these people that appear to be the same people in different episodes, and there's a bunch of people saying, oh, there's these crisis actors, and they're involved in these fake situations, and it's causing a huge amount of controversy all over the place, and I actually even made a mistake of getting involved in this entire thing. But what if the psychopaths are using crisis actors? What if they realized, say, during 9/11, that actually killing people actually gets you a whole bunch of pissed off people investigating you, and the parents and the brothers and the aunts and uncles of the victims are a relentless quest to get you and to catch you, which is what happened in 9/11. The 9/11 victims were relentless. They would not stop. The only reason there was a 9/11 commission at all was because of the victims. Did they decide after 9/11 that they didn't want to get rabid mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers coming after them for killing people, and so they're setting up crisis actors? Well, I don't know if they are or not, but it would be exactly what a psychopath would do.
Mm. Also, the other element here is just cunning manipulation, and I see this this manipulative stance being taken by everything. For example, just recently in New Zealand, we had fluoride taken out of one of our major cities, Hamilton in New Zealand, okay? And within a day, there were dozens of editorials demonizing every single councillor. The Minister of Health comes out and says that there's these well-organized groups of disinformation agents called anti-fluoride activists that are coming out and doing this. And something clicked in my mind. I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Where have I heard this before? And I had the video on my computer of Dr. Paul Connett saying, when he was here in Auckland in February, that this is what happens as soon as instantly. He says that they are instantly attacked. And I believe that this is part of the psychopathic mentality as well, because as soon as they get exposed, they come at you from every which angle. One of the preeminent doctors, Dr. Anna Goodwin, got wrangled out a an editorial hit piece on her saying that she'd been done for drunk driving once upon a time and changed her name because of it, whereas her changing her name was for a completely different reason, because she didn't have any Jewish heritage and she didn't like her Jewish last name, and it was just a coincidence that she changed her last name. So this is the kind of dirty tactics that they play. So again, it wouldn't be any surprise, and I agree with you, Jay.
Well, you can't debate a psychopath. They will not debate. You will cream them in a debate. They will never debate. I always challenge psychopaths to debates, and they always refuse because they get crushed. And so you'll see that. That's why there's never a debate about 9/11 in this country, in the United States, because the other side just won't talk about it. They won't debate you. They just crush you with ad hominem attacks.
This is true. Now, Thomas, you seem a bit sleepy there. Would you like to say something?
No, I'm not sleepy. I'm just listening. Yes, that's the thing with them and debating is pointless, because it's like, again, Jay said earlier on that they're not very knowledgeable, so they can't debate. So what they do is they attack. What they do is they'll attack you in such a way, like they'll claim you're anti-Semitic, yep, or they'll claim you're racist or homophobic, or you're even intellectually you're retarded or you're moronic. So they put you in a position where they put you back where you have to defend your humanity before you can even get to the issue being raised. That's a very psychopath. A lot of jerks do it as well. A lot of, like you say, you know, dickheads, whatever, sorry for the language, they will do that as well. But a psychopath will do it all the time. They will never meet you halfway on an issue. And in a debate, they will attack with obstructive ideas that will be designed to question your humanity, your intellect, and your decency. You will be portrayed as the devil, Hitler, Stalin, and Charles Manson, all rolled into one. That will be how it will begin, and you will have to kind of fight your way out of that in order to get to the point being issued. My attitude is, it's the same thing with non-compliance. You don't even waste your time. You don't even waste your time challenging them, because it's not going to happen. This is why I'm so against marching and protesting and all this stuff. We need all our time and energy to do real things and real spread information and like build this underground network, which we're building.
I agree with what T said, and the whole political correctness movement, it was created by psychopaths to stop any discussion.
Yep, and feminism.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to pick up on something that you said there, Thomas, that was really important. You said, a lot of jerks do this as well, and I think that's an important point in this. I don't know if you guys touched on it in the first hour, but I'm not sure if you talked about the psychopath-sociopath distinction. I'm sure you guys are more well-versed in that, but my understanding is that basically, psychopaths are able to create a certain section of the populace in their image, people who aren't actually naturally psychopathic, but will become and act like the psychopath in order to move up in the system. And I think that we can see that happening in society in so many ways. And so you get these jerks who will act in the similar way to the psychopaths and ape their actions. And unfortunately, that creates this cadre around them.
Yeah, we covered that in the first hour.
Okay.
Proto-psychopaths, yeah. The infection spreads.
Right, exactly right. Well, can I just go back for a second? Because I first of all, want to correct the mistake I made in the last segment where I talked about Unit 703. Of course, it's actually Unit 731. So for anyone who got onto startpage.com and started looking that up, you might want to type in 731, not 703. But I just want to read an interesting little passage from a review of an NHK documentary about that I think is quite revealing about the psychology. It says, I saw a documentary done about the ex-doctors and soldiers from Unit 731 in NHK and Asahi TV. I thought it was horrible. They were doctors from Kyushu University, and these doctors were conducting vivisections of Filipino villagers. They wanted to test amputation procedures in preparation for Japanese patients. What they did was capture Filipino villagers and cut off their limbs without anesthesia, because that was needed to be preserved for Japanese soldiers. The young doctors who were recruited were confessing their experiences. He was told to assist a surgery for his senior surgeon, and according to him, some of the Filipinos died right away because of the shock of the overwhelming pain. He said that he couldn't take it, and he walked out. Anyway, he was already in his 80s. At least he seemed remorseful. But this other surgeon just made me angry. I sensed some pride or lack of remorse in his statement. he was smirking, saying that it was a doctor's nature to want to perform human experimentation. So I think that's a pretty vivid image of what the psychopath would look like and act like in that situation, and the way they tried to justify it in their mind. Well, of course, it's just natural doctor inclination to want to perform these types of experiments on people. So that's, unfortunately, I think, what we're up against.
Now, you also mentioned this, what was it called, political correctness and things, so you can't talk about it. And it was very interesting because I mentioned the George Zimmerman case and then people call me racist. And then I mentioned the eugenics agenda of Planned Parenthood to exterminate the blacks. And then they said that I can't comment on it because I'm not a woman and it's a woman's right to choose. And so I wrote this Facebook post, white people can't talk about black people. Men can't talk about women. Sick people can't talk about medicine. Laymen can't talk about the law. Poor people can't talk about business. And so on. And all this is a mechanism to keep people fighting with each other so the super elite billionaires can get away with exterminating us and making off with all the fracking money and power. And then somebody says Australia finds $20 trillion of oil. And I said, you can't say that because you're not an oil man. And then he says, leave it in the ground because fossil fuels will end so. And I say, you can't talk about that because you're not a fossil. And another guy says, and we the people paid for the power utilities that they somehow sell to privateers and sometimes they still are public owned. Then the thanks we get is an overpriced service that we own. Something is wrong here. And I said, but you can't say that because you're an electricity consumer. And he says, yes, great point. Madness rules the day. And I said, you can't talk about madness because you're sane. And he says, can I say that because I don't rule, but I may be mad, damn mad. And I said, you can't ask, can I say that because you can speak. And he says, lol, so why are you saying I can't have a say? Damn, I thought we lived in a free country. Maybe it's only a free country if one shuts the frack up and has no opinion. Why, if that were true, would we have a police force full of muck, a corrupt judiciary, an elite banking oligarchy, and generations of disenfranchised and disillusioned people? And I said, you can't say that because you're not part of an elite sociopathic scumbaggery clique that abuses and rapes babies while donating to children's hospitals. And he goes, dole. And I said, you can't say that because you're not Homer Simpson. And he goes, bugger. And I said, you can't say that because you don't drive a Hilux pickup truck. And it's nicely stated, mate. Keep up your loud and exposing work. And I said, you can't say that because you're not my employer. And he goes, ha 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 ha. And I said, you can't say that because you're not a comedian. And it just goes on and on and on. This exact same type of methodology is what I'm trying to expose here, is that whenever you start accusing people, and Thomas, this is a brilliant point that you raised up. Don't even try to defend yourself. I think fight fire with fire. Somebody accuses you of being racist, just to completely ignore it and keep going on explaining whatever information you want, right? Is that a methodology that works?
Yeah, it's just like I don't care. It's like I won't let them, like if people say to me, well, how dare you? I've actually had people say to me, how dare you write two books on psychopaths? You know, a psychiatrist, psychologist, a neurosurgeon might say, well, I don't care. I just don't care. That's why I just and they're actually quite shocked by that because they're expecting me to sort of like defend myself. And I just say, look, fair enough, I don't care. You know, I just don't. If you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, that's okay. And that really that's really what it comes down to, you know. I don't care.
Yeah. And then this person goes on to tell me, okay, you win. I accept your position as fact and give in. And I said, now you can say that. You know, and this is something that we went back to earlier. You know, if you satirize these people, that's basically your best defense. James, do you have anything to weigh in here?
I agree completely that satire is probably the most effective way of dealing with it. Not for the psychopaths themselves. Obviously, there's no hope of reform there. But for the people who are caught up in their psychopathy and their crazy delusions, I think it can help to snap people out of that and to realize just how absurd what they're saying or doing is. So I definitely agree that laughter can be a good medicine in that case.
Now, also, I believe that this is probably the reason why I'm here to do what I'm doing, because I don't see a whole lot of other radio shows out there who base their show predominantly with humor, but also talk about very serious information. And in fact, I had somebody criticize me the other day and say, Vinny, I'm sick of your comedy angle. And you know what's interesting? How many Truth or Radio show hosts have a predominant focus of humor on their show?
It's a pretty serious business, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, So if you don't want to have fun and have a few laughs while you're doing this kind of thing, I can assure you there are innumerable other shows you can listen to if you don't want to have fun. Okay? Go for your life. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. My very special guest, James Corbett from the Corbett Report, Thomas Sheridan, and also Jay Widener. Back in just a few minutes, folks. Don't you go anywhere. You know, Knights of Cydonia by Muse, I think, is actually the perfect song to play in the final segment here. You and I must fight to survive. And this is true, and it's becoming a real hassle to live in today's world because of the quite massive influence of psychopathic scumbaggery upon the laws which are passed everywhere. And my very special guests, James Corbett, Thomas Sheridan, and Jay Widener. Now, I'd like to get you guys to plug your websites one more time in the final segment here before we wrap it up. So, James Corbett, would you please go first?
That would be CorbettReport.com, C-O-R-B-E-T-T report.com, and that's the one-stop shop for all my work, including my videos, my interviews, and my other website, FukushimaUpdate.com. All of that is found there.
Mm-hmm. Thomas?
Thomas Sheridan, arts.com, that's also my one-stop shop for my films. My new radio show on Sunday called The Velocity of Now, and my blog.
NJ.
You can read my articles on jwidener.com, and you can buy my films at sacredmysteries.com, and that's it.
Now, final points to wrap up in terms of either personal experience or, in fact, you know, personal experiences aside, because if you've got personal experience with psychopaths, they won't like you talking about them and they might come after you. So, one at a time, I'd like to hear the juiciest nugget of information, something that either that actually was a very profound experience for you, and don't mention any names when it comes to psychopaths. James, could we start with you?
I don't know if I have a personal experience like that at all, which is exceptionally lucky of me, or at the very least, maybe I'm just the type of person who doesn't attract that into my life, because again, I don't tend to give that meaning or power. But something I would like to say in conclusion, I think that as we move towards the technocratic tyranny that's possible now, I think that the importance of the fight against the psychopaths who are at the top of this system is more important now than I think it ever has been in human history, because we're moving into a period of time where there's at least the possibility for 100% enforcement of law through the technological means to spy on everyone and what they're doing at all times. And that raises, I think, the absolute dream of the psychopathic class, the psychopathic core, who desperately want to have that kind of 100% control over human action generally. And I mean, anyone who doesn't understand the value of at least being able to theoretically break whatever laws exist in order to fight against the system, I think have a complete lack of imagination and probably are psychopaths themselves. So that to me is, I think, one of the most worrying aspects of the time we're living in, and why I think it's more important now than ever to remove these levers of control, to dismantle the NSA and all of these other spy agencies before they really do become the de facto rulers of the world, as they already believe themselves to be in their own mind.
Mm, I completely agree. Jay?
Well, I mean, I don't really have... I try to avoid psychopaths as much as possible. Unfortunately, I'm in the business world, so that's not possible. I really don't have I do have encounters with psychopaths. I'm not as lucky as other people on this panel. But generally, I make jokes about them and try to avoid them. But I completely agree with James about what's going to be happening here with the national security state, which has, of course, been created and run by psychopaths to control us. And we need this is the turning point for the human race. We either turn this around right now, or we fail as a species.
Mm-hmm. It's like Bad Boys 2. We ride together, we die together, bad boys for life. Now, Thomas, what about you?
I agree with both Jay and James. I agree with both of them. I would just say that, like, I'm delighted with the absolute consensus. Well, not absolute, but the general consensus here tonight that we have nothing to do with them, no contact ever again. We have no compliance with the control system. I don't vote anymore. Do things like support local businesses, spend cash, you know, things like that. Don't steal big corporations or anything that can be seen as psychopathic. Don't feed them online. Don't, as I said, build the roadmap or to warn where they are on the internet and how they function. And satire, humor, it will demolish them. I have big plans for that in the future. I may be working with some Hollywood people to actually do a film, and they've been approached. And so if it all comes out, and it's early days yet, I am, you know, very willing to and very looking forward to, well, I've already kind of given them most of the material anyway. So I think it's going to happen. I think satire, if we can tear them to pieces with satire, and we can really humiliate them and ridicule them. You see, remember, like I always said, when you finish a game of cards, the joker is always the card that trumps the court cards. Top of the king, the queen, and the jack, and all the other cards in the deck. So I think there's a real metaphor there for how to deal with the psychopaths and the psychopathic control system.
Who are incidentally often kings, queens, and jackasses.
Yeah.
Another thing that's important right now is that because of people like Thomas exposing this whole thing, they're starting to get a little bit worried. They didn't count on this happening, and so you're going to see counter propaganda to what we're saying. Coming. It's already starting. There's a Hollywood movie, Seven Psychopaths, which kind of portrays him as being cute and lovable, and so you're going to see more and more of this stuff as we corner these guys, and you're going to see more and more.
On that note, can I just ask Thomas or Jay, have you stomached John Ronson's psychopath test? I've never actually brought myself to actually read it, but I assume it's exactly that type of hit piece.
When my book first came out, myself and Ronson were asked to do together an article for Playboy magazine, and I refused because I said I didn't want to really be feeding Hugh Hefner. And guess who accepted the article and got a politically correct Mr. Ronson? So there's another book that's come out called The Wisdom of Psychopaths. You heard about this one? Now telling us that psychopaths are wonderful and this is what we need to aspire to, and where would we be without them? Whoa. So that's the counter propaganda that Jay is talking about. On the other hand, the intelligence services are also feeding certain elements within the alternative community, the more dysfunctional elements of it, the cult elements, and actually funding them to kind of take ownership of the psychopathic issue in order to spin it off into like vampires and space aliens and things like that, rather than dealing with it for what it really is. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a spiritual or demonic or any other aspect to it. There may very well be. I don't know. But I'm just saying the only way we're going to deal with this is in the real world, as, you know, a real battle plan. So the counter-propaganda has begun, and I think it really shows that we have the rat backed into a corner.
I agree.
I wanted to then close off by saying this. I mean, we're not finished the show just yet, but Thomas has really put himself out there, and indeed has, in my opinion, done more to expose the psychopathic mentality in an incredible way that is not only undeniable, but it's listenable and understandable. And as a direct result, I fear based upon this broadcast, that there may be attacks upon your character. There may be these editorials and so on and so forth. And this kind of thing happens all the time. As I mentioned in the previous segment about people who remove fluoride get attacked by the fluoride lobby and so on and so forth. So I wanted to encourage the listeners to help protect these people who are trying to expose these very dangerous people, whether that be by making sure that you flag comments that are abusive and things like that on the YouTube videos, or by reporting, blocking people, that kind of thing. Anybody who stands up and says that Thomas Sheridan is a bad person for doing this, or Vinnie Eastwood is just a scumbag for doing this, and he's this, that, and the other, James Corbett is a stupid person, etc., Jay Widener is crazy, he believes in such and such, and blah, blah, blah. Flag those comments for spam. Block those people, because that's how you get rid of a psychopath. I'll be removing those comments from my YouTube channel. I'll be exposing scumbaggery and so on and so forth. Just get rid of these people and help those who are informing you about the topic. Do not support, do not read, do not listen to those who are launching this kind of counter-propaganda, because it is counterintuitive to any kind of decent humanity.
And they're also trying to waste our time. They want us defending ourselves rather than working on our important work. They don't want Jay doing what he does, James and myself and you. And that's where our focus is. We have to keep our eye on the prize and not be dealing with these Muppets.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, you really do just have to ignore it. And, you know, you don't get in this game with a thin skin. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about their attacks.
Mm. All right, and as I say, there's a reason why YouTube and Facebook have a block function. Because somebody comes at you with this kind of stuff, you say block, and then you never have to hear from the motherfucker again. Thank you guys for your time. James Corbett from CorbettReport.com. That's Corbett with two T's. It's not CorbettReport.com. Jay Widener from JayWidener.com, SacredMysteries.com. And also Thomas Sheridan from thomassheridanarts.com. Gentlemen, thank you for your time, your wisdom, and your capacity to expose scumbaggery. I'm deeply honored and so forth.
Thanks for having us on.
Night, guys. Brilliant.
And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Please share this.